Mark 11. I got a question for you. That question is, it's coming. Okay, they want me to do it? There it is. How far can you walk into the woods? Wow. You guys knew the math. Who looked at my notes? Halfway. Because when you keep walking, you're now walking out of the woods, right? Second question. I can't believe you knew that one. Wow. There was more than just James. How many times can you subtract 10 from 100? Gosh, who said that? We got some smart people in here. I failed at both of these answers. Once, because then you're going to be subtracting 10 from 90. Ah. What do we call these? Trick questions, right? You think you know the answer. Well, most of you didn't know the answer, but typically, trick question. And it's those types of questions that you never want to answer right away, unless, of course, you know the answer. But you want to think about it. Well, I mean, the first time I said, how many times you subtract 10 from 100? That's easy, 10. I mean, who doesn't know that? Once. Okay. See, trick questions and questions themselves are often things that Jesus had to deal with himself. See, as we get into this next chapter, Jesus is going to be approached by some of the religious, and they're going to ask him some questions. And the interesting thing is that even Jesus himself would use questions to challenge people, to get them to think a little bit more. So questions are good, right? It's good to have a question because you're seeking for the answer. In fact, on 25 different occasions, Jesus was asked a direct question in the Bible. Interestingly enough, only 4 of those times did he give an answer. The other 21 times, you know what he did? He asked another question. Questions are so important. And in an article called Let Me Ask You Something, the author suggests that there are at least 3 types of questions that Jesus asked in the Gospel of Mark. 3 types. Number 1, probing questions. These kinds of questions cause the listener to think. An example is found in Mark 3:4. It says, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save or to kill?" Now, some of those questions, probing questions, typically don't necessarily need a response. It's typically you know the answer. And that's the kind of probing questions that are important. The second kind are personal questions. Instead of just drawing out more information, personal questions help people reveal their personal beliefs. An example in Mark 8, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And then he turns it around and makes it personal and says, "But who do you say that I am?" See, it's one thing to know what other people think. It's one thing to know what your church believes. But it's so much more important to know what you believe. And so probing questions are important. And then finally, provocative questions. This third kind of question creates conversation and discussion and can also put people on their heels. And it's this kind of question, it's this provocative question that Jesus will be dealing with as he comes into Jerusalem. Now, it's the day that we're talking about is Tuesday. He had entered into Jerusalem on the donkey and the big hoopla, and then all the challenges that he had, and he clears the temple, and now we're continuing what we talked about last week. It's not a new situation, it's not a new day, it's the continuation of what Jesus has done. And the question that they're going to ask Jesus is directly related to his authority, to his authority. And it gets us to think as believers, as followers of Christ, those who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior must accept his authority. And that's what I've titled today's message, Accepting His Authority. Now that's a question for any of us and all of us in this room right now. Have I accepted Jesus' authority over my life? Personal. He should certainly have authority over his church. He's God. But does he have authority in your life? Can he speak into your life? Can he, in fact, ask you questions? God bless you. And ask for a response. Questions, questions, questions. Accepting his authority. That's only something you can deal with in your heart. Now, for some of us, we might immediately think, yeah, well, I'm a Christian. Of course I accept his authority. But then there's times in our lives when he asks us to do something. There's times in our lives when he requests something of us to do or to be or to show to someone or to pray with someone. And really we go, Lord, really? And we have this conversation with God and we don't just flat out accept his authority. In fact, A.W. Tozer says this, and I love this, on obedience. We need preachers who preach that hell's still hot, heaven's still real, sin is still wrong, the Bible is God's word, and Jesus is the only way to salvation. I love that quote. But you know what? I add to it. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for pastors. All of us in this room, if you are a spirit-filled Christian, need to be that one that tells people that hell is still hot, that heaven is still real, that the word of God is true, and that Jesus is the what? Only way to salvation. That is so important in the days that we live in today when people just want to accept their own truth and their own way. And why does God only make one way to heaven? Listen, if I gave you directions to my house, I would give you the directions the quickest way to my house. You're welcome to take the highway. You're welcome to go down to Cool Springs. You're welcome to drive down Crockett Road. But if you just go down Concord, you make it a lot quicker. There's one way to my house. There's one way to heaven. And that's through Jesus Christ. And accepting his authority. Because he's given it to us. And that's why I wanted to start out in prayer this morning. Because he's given us the authority to pray for each other and to pray over each other that the enemy wouldn't have control of our lives. And so I want you to leave here this morning, if you stood, to believe that what you're asking God for, he's on the job answering that question right now, answering that prayer at this moment. See, we all need to submit to that authority. And this is what we see in Mark chapter 11, verse 27. Just read with me the first two verses here, 27 and 28. Then they came again to Jerusalem. Again, it's a continuation. They left Bethany. And they saw the fig tree dead, and now they finally make their way to Jerusalem. Then they came again to Jerusalem, and as he was walking in the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him. And they said to him, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority to do these things?" Now, if you know what's going on here, the things that Jesus has done and the things that Jesus is doing at this particular time is, you remember the day before he came in and he did what? Cleared the temple. Right? And it's like, what authority do you have to do this? And listen, I want to say this, because you read this sometimes, you go, why would they even ask Jesus that? It's okay to ask. It's okay to have the question. They're supposed to be the religious leaders, or they're supposed to be the ones that are representing God. And here comes this guy on the scene, and he's changing the system. He's messing everything up, certainly financially for the rulers. But he's doing some stuff, and they want to know why. I mean, if someone came into your house and started rearranging your furniture, wouldn't you want to know why? Who let you in? Who told you to do this? I mean, I would just assume it was my wife that told you. But in fact, the other day, I came home. Where was I? I was at a pastor conference. I came home on Wednesday night, opened up my garage door, and my wife's car was gone. And at first I'm like, oh, somebody must have borrowed a car. And then I'm thinking, wait a minute, maybe somebody stole the car. I mean, you got to find out. You want to know what's going on. And so there's nothing wrong with them asking. The problem is we know, right? We know their heart. We know their motivation. Their motivation is to try to catch Jesus. Because we'll see in a minute as we get through this, they don't really want to know the answer. And it's those types of questions that really bother me. When someone asks me a question but don't want to know the answer, they just want to know what I think the answer is so that we can have this discussion, this heated discussion, right? But there's nothing wrong with them asking Jesus. And we'll see that in a minute. See, they come to Jerusalem, and the first thing they see is this challenge. They come, and there's really nothing wrong with them doing this. In fact, it fulfills some sense of prophecy and typology. Because in these days, when a Jewish family was coming up to the Passover, that's what we're doing, we're coming up to the Passover at this time, they would take the lamb that they would present as their sacrifice to cover their sins. And listen, for 4 days, they would bring that lamb or that sacrifice into their home, and they would scrutinize it. They would make sure that it's flawless because it had to be a perfect lamb to be presented. And so for 4 days, they checked out if this lamb was okay. And here it is, the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious, are scrutinizing Jesus, the Lamb of God, 4 days before he will make his sacrifice. It's just amazing the things that Jesus fulfilled in his life. And so we have to realize, when we bring something to the Lord, when we offer ourselves to God, are we doing that internal investigation? You know, if I'm going to offer God my service, if I'm going to offer God my abilities, I'm going to say, Lord, I want to make sure my motives are right, that my heart is pure before you, that I'm not looking to get anything back from this. Because God wants us to offer ourselves without spot and without blemish. See, this outer courtyard that Jesus enters into, I know Mark doesn't really detail it. Jesus didn't just walk in there and is walking around. Jesus is actually teaching. He's in there teaching, and that's another reason they're asking. In fact, Luke tells us this. Now, it happened on one of those days, as he taught the people in the temple and preached the gospel, that the chief priests, the scribes, together with the elders, confronted him. So Jesus is teaching. And that's something that's so important about our Lord. He's always teaching, isn't he? He's still teaching today, isn't he? The Lord still continually teaches us. And I love that aspect. Hey, we all want to arrive. We all want to be perfect. But Jesus is always teaching you something. I would imagine even this week you've learned something new about the Lord. And that's the beauty about our God. He's undiscoverable completely, isn't he? Every time he reveals himself to you in a greater way, you learn a deeper aspect of his character. He's never done with us. See, Jesus knew what was going on. In fact, earlier in Mark chapter 8, Jesus told the disciples, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, and the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders, they're going to kill me, they're going to accuse me, and they're going to end up killing me completely, and I'm going to rise in 3 days. Jesus knew. So that thing about Jesus is so cool, is he's not bothered by it. It doesn't bother him that they ask the question. In fact, he's glad that they are asking. And I think that's important for us, to remember that we need to ask God questions. Ask him questions. You know, we're so concerned about asking God for things that we aren't having a conversation with him. We're just putting our prayer together. God, give me this. God, bless my day. God, take care of my kids. God, instead of just saying, Lord, why is the world like it is? Lord, why do I get aggravated at people? Why? Oh, I can't believe I'm going to say this. You must think I'm an awful person, but I just tell you all my dirty laundry. Last night, my wife and I went out to go to have dinner at a friend's house, and we were picking up the food before we were going to their house. And I ordered the dinner online. That's what we do, right? We order food online, and then we go pick it up. I'm supposed to be picking it up at 5:15. I get there at 5:19. Figure, this is perfect. I'll pick up the food, and off I go. How long did I wait? 15, 20 minutes. The face that I had for those 15, 20 minutes was not very pastoral. And I sat there and I watched the girl that was preparing our meal. And I'm thinking, you lazy employee. And it's just like, and that's, anyways, I don't know where I was going with that, but it's like, Lord, why? And you know, when you ask God why, he often tells you, I'm trying to teach you patience. So whoever of you are praying for my patience, stop. Because it's one of those seasons where it's like every little thing is driving me nuts. But to ask God questions. Guys, he wants to hear from us. Because I think when we ask, that means we're waiting to hear God respond. We're waiting to hear God have an answer. God always will respond to us. And will always give that answer. See, because we're submitting under his authority if we're followers of his. And so there's nothing wrong for asking, Lord, why am I having a hard time in my marriage? Lord, why am I having a hard time with my coworkers my friends or my family? Why is there this struggle? God, help me. Reveal it to me. Oftentimes, God will answer and give us that direction that we need in that time. He sees everything. I'm so thankful for that. I can't see everything, you can't see everything, but God can. The word authority means this. to have the right and the might to do anything, to possess permission and unimpeded power to act. That's authority. That's the authority that Jesus has. And it was his self-evidenced authority that Jesus displayed very well. He didn't hide it. He wanted to share it. In fact, in Mark 1:22, it says this, "And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority." There was something different about Jesus as he spoke. There was something different about Jesus when he shared the word of God. You know why? Because he was the word of God. And so it stood out. And if we're going to be seeking anybody, if we're going to be asking questions to anybody, I think it ought to be to Jesus himself, asking him to bring those instructions and those directions for our lives. It's interesting to me, the one thing that they don't ask Jesus. Jesus, why did you clean the temple? Why did you clear out the temple? Why are you doing these things? See, many times we don't ask God why because we know why. They knew. They knew that he came in there to cleanse the temple because they were turning it into profit. They were turning God's house into something that it should have never been. They didn't want to know the answer to that. But they needed to understand that these people were there to feed the people and to teach the people and to direct the people, and they were not. They were taking advantage of them. May that never be something that we do. And it's the same thing that the scribes and the Pharisees said to Peter and John. By what authority are you doing these things? As they were teaching, as they made the blind man see at the gate, what authority do you have? There's nothing wrong with this. See, because I see this as an opportunity for each and every one of us to say, you know why? You know why I prayed with you? Because of Jesus. Because of my relationship with God. Because Jesus has given me the authority. Peter and John, they did things because Jesus gave them the authority. And so it's the same thing. The Great Commission, right? Jesus says in Matthew 28, I have all authority from heaven and on earth. And then we're supposed to go out and make disciples. But the good thing is, Jesus is with us. Jesus is with you. That authority has been transferred to each and every one of us. Are you this morning accepting his authority? Does he have free rein in your life to change things, to rearrange things, to do things, to slow things down, to speed things up? Does he have that authority in your life? See, I want to be the one that when someone asks me, why do you do what you do? I want to say, because of the Lord. In fact, I was at the doctor's office the other day, and the woman asked me, she goes, I love it when they ask these, what do you do for a living? I love that question. And like, I'm a pastor, and I'm telling you, she stopped dead in her tracks. She turns, she goes, well, God bless you. I'm like, well, thank you. God bless you, too. She's like, that must be tough work. I go, to be honest with you, it's the best job on earth. It's only tough when I start taking the authority, when I start taking the responsibility. Life gets hard when we start taking hold of the reins, when we think it's our doing. That makes a difference. When we're submitting to his authority, we're saying, Lord, you direct my path. Lord, you orchestrate the events that come into my life and go out of my life. Because we're submitting to that and not dealing with it on ourselves. If you feel burdened and you feel overwhelmed, it's because you're taking too much of the reins. You're taking too much of that authority. Cast your cares about him, on him. I spent probably, I don't know, it was an hour or so talking to someone in our church that was going through a very difficult thing. Financial burden, a lot of stress, a lot of accusations. And the person was breaking, their heart was broken, the things that they were dealing with. And through the whole thing, I'm praying, Lord, give me something I can encourage this brother. Give me something, Lord, because I don't know what to say. And it was after several conversations, I said, you know what? I believe God is going to use this situation to show you how much he loves you and to show you how powerful he is. Because you haven't done anything wrong. Your whole story that you told me, you haven't done anything wrong. You've done the best of your abilities, and that's the best you can do. Now you got to put it into God's hands. Do you know the very next day, the man's morning devotion was, trust in me, I'm doing a work in you? Coincidence or Godowince? You choose. Godowince. God's speaking, God's talking, God's expressing his love for this person to say, trust in me, believe in me. When things get unsettled, when things overwhelm you, you just got to, Lord, you're still the authority over my life, and I just need to trust you in this moment. Accepting his authority empowers us to represent him rightly. People see us, they should be seeing him. They should be seeing him. Notice what Jesus does after they question him. Verse 29. But Jesus answered and said to them, I also will ask you one question. Then answer me, and I will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? Answer me. There's a couple interesting things that are going on here with Jesus' response. Number one, him answering their question with a question was totally acceptable in those days. It was about debate, okay? So there was nothing wrong with him doing this. In fact, he actually asked them about John the Baptist because he knows what they're getting at. He knows what they want to get from him, and so he's using basically the same thing that they're doing, only turning it back on them. Because who was John the Baptist? The forerunner to the Messiah, right? The one in the wilderness proclaiming the way of the Lord. Repent. Way of repentance. So John the Baptist was the forerunner of the Messiah, who was Jesus. And if the scribes and the Pharisees didn't accept John the Baptist's ministry, who was the forerunner to the Messiah, there was no way they were going to accept the Messiah. So Jesus goes to the root of the issue. He says, listen, you know why you have a problem with me? Is because you missed the sign. You made a wrong turn right out of the driveway, right? You should have accepted John the Baptist. So we'll see in a minute that the Pharisees, oh man, if we answer this way, he'll think this. If we answer this way, this. Jesus gets to the root of the issue and he says, listen, is it from God or is it from men? The very same answer they were asking Jesus to answer them. They want to know if Jesus said from God, they would accuse him. If they said from man, they'd say, well, you're self-proclaimed, you're a hypocrite. Blasphemy. And so it's amazing to me when Jesus comes to the deal and he says, no, I'm going to ask you a question first. And it reminded me of a story many, many years ago. I wasn't a pastor at the time. I was just a servant at a church, at Calvary Chapel down in South Florida. We went to a pastor's conference. This had to be in the mid-90s, 95, 96. And when we went to this conference, we actually would have the opportunity to eat at some of the people's homes that went to the church where they were hosting the conference. And so we met this family, interesting family. This guy built an underground house. It was the coolest thing I've ever seen. But over the years, we had created a relationship with this couple. The very next year, the man, the husband, falls sick, and he's in a wheelchair. And at dinner, we went to dinner the second year, after he left, she shared a story about a few months earlier. The man was in his bed. He's basically paralyzed from the neck down. So she has to care for him completely. And so one night, he has an accident in the bed. And so she gets up, she picks him up, she cleans him off, changes the sheets, puts him back in the bed. And as she's putting him back in the bed, she's saying, Lord, help me not to cry and let him see me cry. And so she gets him in bed, she goes into the other room, gets on her hands and knees and cries out to God. God, haven't we served you? Haven't we been faithful to you? Haven't we done the things you've told us? Haven't we been obedient? This man loves you with all of his heart, all of his mind, and all of his strength. He's done everything. She goes, I just don't understand why you're allowing this to happen in my life, in his life even. And I will never forget this all the days of my life unless I lose my mind, which could happen. She said when she asked God, I just don't understand. God responded with a question to her. Did I ever ask you to understand? And the answer is no. She goes, and God said to her, you're right. I just asked you to trust in me. And I tell you what, I mean, it gives me God bumps to this day. If we would truly look at our lives in that light all the time, you may not understand why you're going through what you're going through. You may not understand why you don't make enough money for your bills. You may not understand why for 4 years your marriage has been great and all of a sudden you guys don't get along. You may not understand why the things are going on in your kids' life, why the choices that they're making and the things that they're doing. You may not understand any of this stuff. But the good thing is, God doesn't ask us to understand. God's on the throne. God's in control. He's the ultimate authority. And if he's allowing it in your life, then you have to accept it and trust him with it. And ask, certainly nothing wrong with asking. That's what I love about this. Jesus does not turn around and look at these religious leaders and go, what business do you have asking me? What authority do you have? He just doesn't even respond in that way. He lovingly says, I'll tell you what, I'll answer your question. Answer me this question. I love that. And it's in our times of communicating with God that we need to make sure, you've heard me say it a million times, that our ears are open when we're praying, not just our mouths. I don't think it's by accident God gave us one mouth and two ears. I think he wants to listen, us to be listening twice as much as we talk. Ladies, I'm sorry. She thought she tricked me by sitting in a different spot, but I know exactly where that one is all the time. Listen, you maybe all of us are all sitting in the same position. God, we don't understand why. Why did my younger brother die before I did? Why did my mom die? Why? All these questions. And every single time God would say, I know you don't understand, but I'm doing the work. Trust me. God's good, right? We talked about that last week. God is good. And he's good when? All the time. And so we can trust him. You can trust him with the things that are happening in your life right now. You just need to make sure you're nothing wrong with asking why. God isn't going to say stop asking why. But the question is, are we ready to hear the answer? I don't think the Pharisees wanted the answer. I really don't. Because if they said he's God, I mean, then they got to accept that. Mm-mm. They didn't accept John the Baptist. There was no way they were going to accept Jesus or his authority. I love this saying. Obedience is the conduit through which fresh understanding flows unhindered. Think about that for a second. Obedience is the key, right? What does Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments, right? I'll abide in me, you abide in me, I'll abide in you, and if my word is abiding in you, you can ask anything you want and you'll have it. So obedience is the conduit through which fresh understanding flows unhindered. And so it's like, if you're being obedient, if you're doing everything in your power to do the things that you know are outlined within the scriptures, you're living within the context of what God's given you, and there's no sin that you are aware of, then you know what? That understanding will come to you. That peace will come to you. Unhindered. God will speak to you. God will show you. God will reveal it to you. But if there is disobedience in your life, that can cut off the flow of understanding. The flow of accepting what God is doing. And I'm not talking about some sin that you have no idea that you did. I mean something where you know that God said, I want you to do this. This is what I want you to do in your life. This is what I want you to get rid of in your life. This is something I'm asking you to become. And you go, I don't want to do that. That hinders the communication between you and God. Because you're basically saying, you're no longer my authority. You're no longer the one that's calling the shots. I can remember it was in the late 1900s, so 1900s. Late 1999. It was late 1900s. Hey, it was accurate. Oh, you guys. See? Yeah, that's what I'm saying. When I got a piece of very bad news. Bad news that nobody ever wants to hear from their doctor. And it was in that situation, in that time, that I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, the Lord was with me so close. Because I had an amazing amount of peace. When someone tells you you have cancer, it rocks your world. We've all been there. I mean, we probably know people that it's unbelievable news. But in that news, it certainly caught me off guard, but I sensed the Lord's presence. I felt the strength of God on me. And it was in that time that God just said to me, this is the only way I could picture it. Here's God's hand, and I'm sitting in his palm of his hand. I'm sitting in the palm of God's hand. He's my authority. Whatever was happening in my life, he was allowing for a reason. And it was during that moment that I was at a complete and total peace. I was even ministering to my friends because of my cancer. Made no sense to me. But that's the peace of God. That's the peace when you know that your life is submitted under his authority. Jesus says, you know what? You answer me this question, I'll answer yours. If there's disobedience in your life, if there's disobedience in my life, it hinders our communication with God. Right? The phone line is a little fuzzy. So make sure, the beautiful thing about it is, if you know you've been disobedient to God, what do? You turn back to him, you say, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry I said no to that. I'm sorry I didn't do what you told me to do. Please forgive me. And in that instant, in that moment, forgiveness is given. That's the beautiful thing about God. He forgives us in the absolute instant, in a moment. So if you're feeling like heaven isn't speaking, search your heart. Seek something. God, say, reveal it to me, Lord. Show me if there's something that's caused. Listen, when things happen to me in my life, when things happen in this church, I'm always asking God, Lord, if there's anything I have control over it, help me to see. Help me to do my part. But you've got to do your part. And that's the beautiful thing about it, to just simply repent and to ask forgiveness. They asked Jesus where he got his authority. Jesus said, let's take a step back and see where you refused the authority when John the Baptist came to tell you I was coming. That's the reality. You have got to realize that Jesus wants us to pay attention to him and to listen to him. And so the questions he's going to ask, are you missing the point? Are you missing the point? And the last thing we're going to look at, verse 31, and they reasoned among themselves, which just reading that makes me go, I don't ever want to reason among myself. You know, if I'm going to reason with anybody, I hope it's the Holy Spirit, right? And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, they feared the people, for all counted John to have been a prophet indeed. So they answered and said to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus answered and said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. They didn't know. I've said this many, many, many times. When you don't have an answer, that's the best answer to give. Don't just give an answer. Don't feel like you have to give an answer. They didn't know. They knew they were caught. And so Jesus turned the very thing they were doing to him back on them, and they were unwilling to give the answer. But yet Jesus so lovingly shows them, listen, if you're missing the point, then I'm not going to give you any influence. I'm not going to give you any insight. The flow stops. See, they chose not to take that route of repentance. They chose not to even hearing from the living Word of God, saying, if you had believed in John the Baptist, who said, repent, right? His baptism was a baptism of repentance. Jesus was basically saying to them, guys, just say you're sorry. Just say, sorry, Lord. We missed it. Because had they said sorry, guess what? Jesus would have been right there to say, I love you guys. But they were too caught up in their worldly possessions and their worldly systems and their worldly traditions, and they could not face and see the Lord standing right before them. May it never be so that the church of Christ, Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ, would reject the truth of who Jesus is. May Jesus never speak into your life and give you a word and give you an encouragement and you just reject it. Receive it, repent from whatever error there's in your life, and get right with God. That's the beautiful thing. You don't have to do a bunch of stuff to get right with God. You just have to humble yourself, to come before God in a humble way. Forgiveness is available to everyone. See, Jesus didn't go on and teach them how to repent. I love the fact that he lets them stupor in their stupidity. We don't know. And Jesus, if I was Jesus, I'd be like, yeah, I know you don't know, you dummies. We don't know, Lord. And Jesus goes, neither will I tell you. He loves everyone. He loves them. And he doesn't require us to do anything but lovingly come to him, ask for that forgiveness, and that forgiveness is available. It's available to everyone. It's available to you. You must receive his forgiveness. See, accepting his authority places him on the throne of your heart and of your life and puts him in the place of prominence where he should be. And I got to be honest with you guys. That's a daily battle, isn't it? That's a daily struggle. That's not a once and done thing. Every morning you wake up, Lord, you're in control of my life. You tell me where to go. You tell me what to do. Help me to have ears to hear you. Help me have the will to do what you want me to do. You know what a week looks like for you. Where in there do you give God the opportunity to call the shots? You know, morning devotion, great. I would encourage you every waking moment to think about God's in control of my life. God's in control of my life. God's in control. Accept his authority and watch your cares, your concerns just, hey, listen, you're still going to have emotions. You're still going to have feelings. I get that. But it's one thing to have a feeling. It's another thing to understand and to know your position in the Lord. Sometimes I don't feel like doing anything, but I know in my heart that's what God's called me to. There's a big difference, isn't there? Big difference. So this week, submit yourself to his authority. Let him speak to you. Ask him questions, but be ready to hear his response, and then be ready to move. We're going to share communion right now, but I want to close in prayer, so pray with me, please. Father God, we thank you for this morning. This opportunity, Lord, to open up the scriptures, to read this little dialogue, this brief dialogue between you and the religious leaders, and to glean, Lord, from the scriptures, just your grace, that you didn't speak harshly to them, that you knew exactly they were going to come to you. You knew that they were going to, what they were going to say. You knew what their hearts were behind these questions. And that's a reminder for all of us, God, that you know our hearts. You know our struggles. You know our difficulties. You also know our victories. And so I pray, God, that we would come to that place, maybe even just this morning, to finally give up, to finally surrender that authority and give it over to you. Orchestrate the events of our lives, God. I pray for each and every person here this morning, that God, we truly would have eyes to see what you are doing in our world, in our society, and that we would be those Christians that are not ashamed of the gospel, that still proclaim that hell is hot and heaven is real and the Bible is true and Jesus is the way to salvation. So many people in our lives need to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And so let your church, let these us Christians, Lord, be the gleaming example, shining brightly, that people would desire to have what we have. So give us the victory, God. We know we're more than conquerors in Christ already, but give us the victory over the struggles that we face day by day. To you be the glory and the praise. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.